The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 11th chapter. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, those with a skin disease are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet, the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Christ. Eli Gifford, a therapist from California, wrote a letter to the editor of the Psychotherapy Networker magazine earlier this year. And a portion of that letter was printed in a recent publication of that magazine, and some of the words were these. "When my clients wonder why me, why us, I tell them that life was never meant to be fair. Just look at the wildness of nature. It's hard and soft, cold and hot. It's filled with joy and sadness, love and grief, isolation and community. There are rainy days and days filled with sunshine. It's not fair, it just is. This is part of being human. But I've found that we're all born with a unique purpose. It's our responsibility to give this gift to our family, friends, and community. How we find that purpose lies beside our deepest pain, regret, and fears. Billions of people have lived and died on this planet, and so our lives may not seem very significant at this time when we walk this earth. But the wake we leave behind as we interact and move through the world does make a difference." The man we call John the Baptist was a man who lived with great purpose, a purpose that led him to speak freely about the nearness of God's kingdom to the people with, let us say, great energy. John's words sound as if he believed that evil itself would be destroyed, burned like chaff in a fire. However, from where John now sat behind those prison walls, the chaff was still very much present. Things had not as yet worked out the way that John was expecting them to. He must have thought that when the expected one came, he and the faithful like him would be vindicated and the corrupt leaders like Herod would be judged. But for now, he was the one in prison. He woke each day to the same confining walls. He had been thrown into that prison for speaking the truth. Was he frustrated? Was he angry? Was he bitter? Did he lose sight of the purpose for his life? John had once made the crowds tremble with his words, and now he had to pass messages by way of his disciples to the people. He could not even directly ask Jesus the question he had for him. He could not look Jesus in the eye and give the question the exact inflection that he wanted to give. He had to ask the question secondhand and receive an answer secondhand through his disciples. The question was, Are you the one who is to come? Or should we wait for another? John knew that someone was coming. Whatever else happened to him and within him, he did not lose faith in God. But was it Jesus? This question loomed large for John as he pondered how he had lived his life thus far in the light of a newfound awareness of his mortality now that he was in prison. Where do we find ourselves this Advent season of anticipation when our hope again is for the coming of Christ? As we approach the celebration of the birth of our Lord, how is our mood really? Do any questions or doubts plague us in the midst of holiday cheer? How has it made a difference to the world that Jesus was born? Since the Messiah has come, why do so many of us find ourselves in one kind of prison or another? For John, his prison was material. For too many people in many overcrowded prisons today, that is still true. For us, brick and mortar may not be involved at all, but our imprisonment may feel just as confining. To say that we are living in tumultuous times is a profound understatement. The COVID-19 pandemic exposed a great many fault lines within our society, fault lines exacerbated by long overdue and still resisted reckoning over the white supremacist legacy of colonialism and racism, something we like to put on the back burner. Challenges to our country's constitutional democracy since its inception, and all types of prejudice, discrimination, injustice, it's still here. And all of this continues to play out against the backdrops of the current ecological, economic, and health crisis, warfare, poverty, and the egocentric behavior that this generation has accepted as quite normal. Amid all of this, we cry out for relief, for resolution, and with a measure of fear and trembling, dare we ask for justice. And we ask rightly for these problems, this imprisoning desert of sinfulness for which we all need to repent, requires something, someone outside of ourselves, someone who will make our wilderness and dry land to be glad and rejoice and blossom, and like the crocus, blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and shouting. Someone to show us the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Surely John, as he roamed the desert area of Palestine, proclaiming the one who was to come, could vividly imagine his surroundings about to be changed, transformed by the power of God. Actually, times then are not much different than they are today. They weren't. As he waited for the one who was to come, he surely sensed a reason to wait. The kingdom of God would be so radically different from that which is barren and baneful. It would be the experience of great joy and gladness for God's people. But now John was in prison, and this question plagued him. Is Jesus the one? Is he the one who will give meaning to his life? Is the presence of Jesus validating his life's work, his purpose for living? Can he be content in his current circumstances? What about his happiness there? Or dare we ask for joy? Some psychologists distinguish between happiness and joy. Happiness is thought to be an external emotion that has events, people, and things as its cause. Happiness is caused by earthly experiences and material objects. Joy, on the other hand, is an internal spiritual state that is the byproduct of selfless behavior, such as caring for others, sacrificial giving, extending beyond one's reach for the sake of another. This was some of the joy that Jesus brought into the world, the joy of living life that shines with sacrificial love for one's neighbor everywhere in the world. There's much joy in following in our Savior's wake as we are swept along in some selfless behavior directed at the glory of God. In consideration of this idea, the Right Reverend Audrey C. Scanlon, Episcopalian Bishop of Central Pennsylvania, writes, "In our neighborhood, there is a guy who has a long driveway. It's about 1/3 of a mile long. Thanksgiving, he spends his entire weekend setting up an ambitious Christmas light display that includes more than 25 trees, inflatable snow globes with life-size figures inside, multiple creches, colored lights that look like cascading waterfalls running down tall trees, mannequin carolers with automated articulating limbs, and strategically placed floodlights that illuminate the woods in shades of red and green and gold. It is fantastic. A sight to behold. A sign at the end of the driveway beckons visitors to drive through his Christmas wonderland. It is a happy place." In the front yard of the small ranch house next door to this Christmas fantasia, there's a big gray rock. Propped up against the rock are 3 12-inch dented, rusty letters that light up with simple light bulbs. The 3 letters are J-O-Y. The bishop says he likes the contrast. Theologically, it makes sense to him. The big splashy fantasia is happy, and the humble offering next door is really, really deeply joyful. This neighborhood display contrasts for us the difference between happiness and joy. On my own front lawn, I currently have strings of different colored lights strung around many bushes. Before them, a very simple all-white creche. 3 figures, Mary, Joseph, Jesus, little white outline, kind of a cardboardy thing, 1 white light shining on it. I suppose since I currently live in this world, but also believe that Jesus is the one the prophets foretold and John the Baptist hoped for, I want to be happy and joyful. But I can't imagine that John the Baptist was happy being in prison any more than we are happy all of the time with the world in which we find ourselves. John's purpose was supposed to be prepare the way of the Lord, but now things did not seem as they should be, and he seemingly has some doubts as he has his disciples ask Jesus for him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" As we consider our own current circumstances in this world, we too might have some questions for Jesus, and his answer may not always make us happy. Jesus answered John's disciples, and through time, us as well. "Go and tell them all what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk. Those with a skin disease are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." In these words, there may not always be happiness for you, but there is great joy for all people in the prophecy of the Lord's coming fulfilled. In these words, there is a special purpose for each one of you as you follow in the wake of our Lord's baptism and leave your own wake behind you to the glory of God. Amen.